Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Compliance Week News podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week, and today we are going to look at proposed changes in lease accounting rules, which we know sounds a little bit arcane, but in fact, how you report the value of leased property on the balance sheet can have some pretty significant consequence for retailers, manufacturers, and many other businesses. So joining us to just to give a quick rundown of what this might mean for companies is Timothy Shea. He is a partner at the law firm of Foley & Lardner. So, Tim, thank you for taking the time to talk to us today.
Hi, Matt. Glad to be here. And just to correct one thing you said, I'm an associate at Foley & Lardner. But glad to be here and happy to discuss lease accounting with you.
Sure. All right. I guess the first question we have here is that the Financial Accounting Standards Board wants to adopt a right-to-use approach where the cost of the lease is reported on the balance sheet. And I guess, in general, do you think what is being proposed out there is a wise change, or is the current situation too messy or unclear?
In general, yes, I do think that it's probably a wise change. Lease accounting is certainly one of the areas of accounting where the accounting often drives the structure of the transaction rather than just recording the economics of a transaction as accounting is intended to do. Oftentimes, companies will work long and hard to make sure that a lease qualifies as an operating lease and it will not hit their balance sheets. The change is intended to require that all leases, or I should say the proposed change, is intended to require all leases to be capitalized and recorded on a company's balance sheet.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that's my view, although you're certainly likely to get differing opinions depending on who you talk to. I think investors and analysts would likely agree with me that it's a positive change and a very positive one, but there would also be likely companies that would not think that it's the right way to treat leases.
Well, along those lines then, at first blush, when people hear lease accounting, they think that this is an accounting issue, but you had mentioned that that can often drive the structure of a transaction. I was wondering if you could give me an example of how the lease accounting can complicate the life for the legal department or other corporate functions that are, in fact, trying to put these transactions together. What might be a particularly good example of what's a complicated transaction that might change if they have this right-to-use approach that goes through?
Sure. I think there are a couple of things that you could look at. One type of transaction, a simple example, would be a credit agreement. These credit agreements often have covenants that are derived from finance that are, I'm sorry, measured using financial ratios that are derived from gaps, such as debt to assets or interest coverage ratios. And the change in accounting standards may result in the company that was previously in compliance with the covenants no longer being compliant. Of course, it could go the other way as well, but I certainly wouldn't bank on that.
Okay. And so could you talk a little more then about maybe what the legal or compliance departments should be staying aware of as this debate goes forward? Should they be thinking that this might change how they confirm documentation in a deal, or should they be looking through their old contracts to see what might need to be changed or anything like that?
They should do that. And for future agreements, they can certainly structure their agreements to include a provision that requires, for example, the restatement of any ratio that is affected by a future change in GAAP, generally or specifically this future change in how leases may be accounted for. Of course, it's not black and white, and each agreement will need to be looked at individually. But that's something you can do going forward. It might be slightly more problematic for existing agreements that do not include such a provision, but certainly I think it would be a good thing for companies to go back and take a look at their key agreements and see how, if at all, this change would affect measurements or other covenants under those agreements.
Okay. And actually, if I could ask one more question, do you have any sense of how quickly or how slowly this change might, in fact, really come to pass? A lot of FASB's accounting rules take their sweet time coming to fruition. But how much should people really be worrying about this, say, right now?
Well, this is still in the initial stage. They put out a joint discussion paper with the International Accounting Standards Board. This is going to be a change that is part of the convergence project between the FASB and the International Accounting Standards Board. So it's likely not going to take effect for a couple of years. However, if and when it does take effect, it will likely also be retroactive, meaning that, and this is my opinion, it's not, and although it's shared by many, FASB hasn't explicitly said this, but because the goal of the accounting change is to increase comparability between companies and to treat transactions similarly, and because leases are long-term in nature, it's likely that existing leases won't be grandfathered in. So companies should consider that when they're entering into what they think now may be an operating lease. It may, in fact, be a capital lease in the future.
Mm-hmm. And might just be a good idea to sort of tag appropriate places in the leases so you'll know where to quickly find it if this ever does, in fact, come to pass and you have to go and dig through your old documents. Best to keep them well organized right now.
Certainly. You want to keep tabs on all the agreements that might be affected by this and may actually want to quantify how the change will impact your balance sheet and other financial ratios.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have today, Tim, but thank you very much for taking the time today.
And my pleasure. Again, everybody, thank you, Matt.
Yep. Again, everybody, that was Tim Shea, who's an associate at the law firm of Foley & Lardner, talking to us about some proposed changes to lease accounting and how they might affect corporate strategy and financial reporting. That is all we have for this week. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope you join us again next time.